Welcome to the Animaniacs. I'm the Blue Crow, and I'm joined here with Neo Freedom.
Hey.
And a special guest, Quentin.
Hello.
Okay, this is episode 2 of the Animaniacs. And as an update, since last time, the contest we're having is still open. So, for those of you who don't know, the contest we're having is if anyone who can name the anime, my name, The Blue Crow, and Neo Freedoms, the anime where that is from, you can host the show and pick the anime we're going to discuss about. So, that contest is still open. No one posted yet the answer. So, if you know, leave a message.
Please, leave a message.
That seems like an easy contest.
Yeah, we said you are not allowed to do that, Quentin.
What? But, I mean, like, couldn't the fan just, like, Google the answers? Like, yeah. Seems like you're winning this. Like, that's very generous of you. Like, a person would get to host the show and pick the topic?
No, well, I'm pretty sure people don't know my name, but unless, like, because that's kind of, like, half made up, half from a show.
Yeah, if someone doesn't even know better, they might even say, we're trying to get people to join. Okay, episode 2 of Animaniacs. We're talking about Great Teacher Onizuka.
Also known as GTO.
Okay.
What? Just throwing it out there. Also known.
Yeah, a little background. It was released in 1999, the anime. It's about a delinquent, one by the name of Eikichi Onizuka, age 22. He's an ex-bike gang member who is trying to move into the teaching profession and make an honest living. And, of course, his hard ways, his hard living ways, it interferes with his work. So, starting off, what did you guys think of the first episode, the intro of how the show started?
Did it draw you? The girl's butt, that
the first
like the guy looking at the girl's butt.
Yeah. Now I do.
That was like the very first image, the show.
Yeah,
that's what I thought you were referring to.
Yeah, now I am. What do you guys think of that?
It's perfect for what the show is.
I've seen better anime butts, I guess, but it's not the worst I've seen. That I don't like. What do you mean by the beginning? The first scene before the opening intro?
No, okay, I just meant the first episode. How they
introduce everything? Episode as in a whole. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought that was one of the worst episodes of the series.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember all the episodes?
Yeah, I remember all the episodes. I've watched the series like 3 times.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What? You what?
I'm pretty sure there are worst episodes out there. I didn't mind the first episode too much, really.
It's not the worst, but it's one of the worst. It's one of the ones I remember not liking the most. In fact, I don't even watch it when I watch the show now, like, I skip the first episode and I just start watching from the second episode on.
Oh, but, yeah, because it sets up the character for the first episode, so, like, you wouldn't want to see that again.
That's weird, because episode 1 is, like, probably one of my favorites. Probably.
And why do you say that?
I think, well, first of all, it's 40 minutes long. And so it really gives him time to set everything up, introduce everything, and then, you know, set up a story between him and the other schoolgirl. So there's enough time.
Which, yeah. She never came back.
Yeah, she never came back. But they concluded the story anyway. And the biggest of all, it's probably because of the conclusion in the show, in the episode. You guys remember it, right? When he comes to her house and he breaks it down with the hammer.
Yeah, that was outrageously unbelievable.
Outrageously.
That's GTO in a nutshell for you.
No, the other episodes had more believability to them.
except when he got shot 6 times and still...
Or how he dragged the blonde girl, the girl who dyed her hair blonde. Oh, I think she was white anyway, blonde. Yeah, he dragged her off the bridge on the back of his motorcycle.
Onto a net, the same type of net like a trapeze artist would use.
Yeah.
That was clever. That took some serious writing.
That took some balls. But GTO balls.
Credible for like a teacher to do.
Well, he is a delinquent anyways. Like, he would take such risks.
Yeah, I can see him like going to a house and breaking it or breaking a wall off of the house and, I don't know, calling up his whole gang and then coming up with a scheme to scare her.
Breaking the family's wall, though, that's like a big criminal act. He's vandalizing their property. And that's going to take a lot of money to repair. It's not like the family's just going to leave it like that.
Yeah.
They are fixing it, though. They did fix it.
But the fixing process helps them come together, the family. And it was a little symbolic, anyway, the whole wall smashing. That's pretty wild, like, I guess, because, you know, her sad story and how she's, you know, her family grew further apart.
Yeah, it wasn't that sad, but yeah, sure.
Oh, it touched me.
Really?
Yeah.
You gotta watch more anime, no.
Yeah, right, I have. alright, so, well, if that episode didn't strike you, what did for you guys? Any particular high point?
I didn't say it didn't, but like, you go ahead first.
Alright, I know too. I'm a sucker for people getting together who would never really get together in real life, like. But
I know where you're heading with this.
No!
Yeah, I know where you're heading with this. Go ahead.
Okinawa?
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole Okinawa run was my favorite, where they go to the beach. I love those episodes.
Yeah, it's the opposite for me. I hate that whole arc.
For one, the and is, what's that guy's name? The little kid.
The geeky guy, right?
Yoshikawa?
Yoshikawa, yeah, him, and then he wins over the Anko.
Yeah,
her name?
I think so.
Yeah, he wins her over, and like they kind of have like a little flirtatious thing. I'm a sucker for that, so that was like the kind of the big romantic story. Overall, the big romantic story is Onizuka and the teacher, but that never
went anywhere.
It's just like flirting, and yeah, it never actually goes to anything. But like the nerd kid, and then the girl who was picking on him, and they kind of hook up for a night of passion. Well, not really, but
he wished.
But then also, I thought the comedy was really strong at Okinawa. Like especially the Onizuka and his the genius girl, whatever her name. Like, I love the comedy between those two characters. And at Okinawa, like, I thought they performed brilliantly together.
But can't you argue the romance between Yoshikawa and the Anko? They barely develop? Because, like, she picked on him pretty much in the beginning, and then you don't really see her that much. And until, like, that part, right? Okinawa? But as opposed to Onizuka and Fujizuki... Didn't they, like, interact the whole time?
But it was, like, really bad interaction, really.
I thought they felt for something for each other towards the end, but yeah, nothing serious, you know. But I thought they developed something.
Yeah, it felt like it was a build up, but then like it went nowhere and it just ended, and it was quite a disappointment.
Yeah, and the defense of the anime, that part was before the manga ended, so they had to create made up the ending, which included the Okinawa part. They made that up,
which is why it's so terrible. did you want to have anything to say that before?
Before what?
Before I say something.
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay, so like, that's probably my worst part that I hate about the show was the Okinawa arc. It was so rushed and it was so badly put together that I totally couldn't get into it. There was no setup for the whole that little kid who got picked up and the chick who picked on him. There was like no setup for that, so like, when they got together, it didn't make any sense really.
Yeah, it did because he.
For one thing, like he saved her right from drowning.
Yeah, that's a powerful thing in us lustful human beings. To be protected by a person, like the ultimate showing of manhood and like the ultimate primal force that pulls a man and a woman together, I would argue.
Sure, but like, I remember even before that, before the whole saving thing, like it's kind of like she's already like looking in his direction at that point already, but then what pushed it over was the saving thing, and that totally came out of nowhere, and I didn't see it. It didn't do anything.
Well, that's how life really is. Life, it doesn't always happen where two people have to build up to liking towards each other, I thought the thing that happened between that brought them together was, you know, him saving her, and I thought that was enough. And it wasn't like she fell heads over heels for him.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, and even after, like, they didn't even really get to, because in the next, like, I think it's like two more episodes, and then the series ends, but like, they're not together, and it's not even, like, really implied that they're a couple.
Yeah.
Either.
No, she confessed though. Or
she confessed to liking him, but not to, but like they didn't really get together at all.
I guess. But yeah, they didn't get together, but that was even that is totally out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was like too out there though, cuz if I recall correctly, when she was mean to him, after Onizuka straightened everything up, she sort of like felt sorry about it, right? And then she kept being mean, but then each time she felt something, she felt a little bit sorry. And then at times where Yoshikawa would like stand up for himself, she kind of gained a little bit of respect for him. Sometimes, right?
I don't know what episode you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure myself, but.
The episode where, were you referring to the episode where they're doing the thing at night? Like, I can't remember what it is. I forget. Only Zuka set it up though to get them together again. But it makes him seem even more manly to her again. I guess that's what the whole point of it is. And then he sets it up to where the three guys that he hangs out with,
yeah,
with the Kinzano or whatever that guy's name is, and then the two other guys, Fuyo Yoshi and some other guy, like are dressed up and they start like picking on Yoshikawa, and like he's trying to fight them or whatever, but he gets his ass kicked, and then like she stands up for him.
Yeah, that was
the Okinawa.
Yeah,
that was, right?
All right.
Yeah, that was like the last.
Yeah, Okinawa. Yeah. I mean before the Okinawa.
Previous to that.
Yeah, before that trip. like sometimes she would show a little hint of change.
I don't remember seeing that, but I get but
well, like David said, or maybe Kui said it, or whatever your online personas are. But Neo Freedom said, she wasn't really on the show that much previous to that.
The Blue Crow said that.
No, you did. Blue Crow said
that. No, you said.
Oh, I did, but I'm saying not. Not like it was totally unfound. I said but I'm thinking, you know, they could do a lot better.
Well,
not
that's
that they had to.
The whole show was like that, though. It was Onizuka, and then it was a series of arc where for a couple episodes it would be like
different students.
Like, yeah, it would focus on different students, and you wouldn't see, like, the other students that often. Like, there would be, like, the arc when she gets introduced in the show, and then it would be, like, the really smart, genius nerd guy with the computers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the really smart, genius girl. I was like, same person.
The same girl. Then there'd be that girl. The whole show was about Kanzaki. Well, for me, basically. But the Yoshito or Kikuchi. Kuchi guy. Not Kunio. But it was basically just arcs of them, and then you wouldn't see characters for a while.
Yeah.
And so the whole show was basically, it was only Onizuka was in every episode, and then his love interest was in a lot of them. But then other than that, the other characters weren't always in every episode. So you'd go episodes without seeing them before.
Yeah. Speaking of characters, what are you guys' favorite? If you can only pick one. And if it's Onizuka, then pick someone else. Because, he's too popular. Too good.
I probably would pick the smart guy, the really smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yoshito? Or something like that?
Kikuchi? Yoshito Kikuchi?
Kikuchi? Yeah, that's probably him.
Yoshito Kikuchi.
Yeah, something like that. Kikuchi.
You keep saying it wrong over and over again.
Anyways, he's probably the best student there. He didn't really have like an arc. He had like a couple episodes, but like each episode in other people's episode, he's really helpful. He could help Onizuka in most of the situations.
Oh, speaking of one of the jams that Kikuchi got Onizuka out of, the high school entrance exam on the test where you switch out the exam.
Yeah.
And he got a perfect score anyway, you know, for that thing. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that totally ridiculous for you guys, for Onizuka to score a perfect score? Think of it like as the SATs, him scoring perfect.
Here's the thing.
What? Yeah.
We've had this conversation before.
Dad, we're having it again.
Wait, do we?
And we're having it again. I think it was supposed to be implied that the principal switched his test. That's what I got out of the episode. Because she says something at the end of the episode that makes at least me think that she... because somebody's talking with her about how blah blah blah, how Onizuka, like, how could he score this good or something like that, and then she says something that makes me think it. She switched the test.
Yeah, she did. I think they both did though, Kikuchi and her. She said because she was talking to Fujitsuki, and she said something, she said Onizuka is too valuable to lose or something like that. She switched the test. But then at the end, when Onizuka was at Kikuchi's house, he was on a motorcycle, and then he asked him, like, aren't you at least curious what you got on the test? After he told him that he switched it, he said, I know. He turned around, perfect score.
Yeah, that's to imply that his arrogant attitude is still there. Like, but he has like full. He's like a confident guy.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Then when Kikuchi went back to his house, he looked at the exam over it and he said, "Ooh, I cannot believe this guy." And it was a perfect score because he had the real test, you know, real Onizuka test after he switched it, and he returned to check it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember
that. Yeah, so that's the one thing that I cannot accept from Onizuka, him scoring.
I don't accept it from you.
We gotta watch this tonight.
I'll have to go check that again.
Well, not to mention he got shot while he was taking the freaking...
Yeah, that too, the whole drama.
That was believable.
No, and he showed up late until like, and he had like half an hour, 10 minutes, or 50, whatever, you know. He showed up late for the exam. That too.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so Kikuchi's your favorite, okay?
Yeah.
Anything else?
One of my favorite, the person I really connected with, not like on a personal level, but just the person I usually connect with on TV shows, is the person who gets picked on a lot, and who's kind of like dumb, and has huge breasts.
Tomoko?
Tomoko. I liked her a lot, and she was my favorite character. She was the one who I felt the most emotional attachment with.
Yeah.
On two levels. Yeah. But no.
But those two.
But I think
physical level.
Yes. But I think I liked Kanzaki a lot too.
Who is that in?
This genius girl.
Ah.
Because I thought her and Onizuka's relationship was interesting in that it had a lot of comedy to it and a lot of them picking on each other and a lot of her like making him look dumber, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, she's great. For Tomoko though, I have to say like one of my favorite episodes is with her. Pretty much the first one, or not really the first one, but when they showed the story where Miyabi, the bully girl, she pretty much ditched Tomoko. They were friends, but then they ditched her, and she just ignored her. And then Tomoko was all lonely until Onizuka came over. You guys remember that?
Yeah,
I guess.
And he started like playing with her in the sand.
Yeah, especially that scene. I like that too. Yeah, and then they showed like how they were. Miyabi and her were friends since they were little, but then Miyabi was really nothing to Miyabi. It was a lot. It meant a lot to Tomoko, but not very much to Miyabi. And then the whole beauty pageant thing, rivalry contest.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that part. Those it for the characters you guys like.
Well, you said name one.
Yeah.
Favorite character. Like, wait, what's okay?
For the record, though, do you guys like any of them more than Onizuka? Those three?
Did Dad like what?
Did you like those characters more than Onizuka?
Not all of them.
I meant the one you picked.
Oh. I think so. I think it was.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think... No, I guess. If you had to point a gun to my head, I'd say no.
Me either. My favorite character, all those other characters are really good too, but I have to say Principal Uchi Yamada. Because he's just so hilarious, especially paired with Onizuka and, you know, how he's always getting in the way. With the whole thing with his car. Zuka keeps on messing with it.
Yeah, but that went on for too long for my taste.
No, I don't know. It was just dispersed throughout.
Well, it wasn't like every episode, so it was fine.
Oh, yeah, but like they used it more than like three or four times. It was like, okay.
And then, then he wasn't just... or comedy either, and he had like, you know, his whole sad story, his family he's losing touch with his family, and there's like another episode where Onizuka is running around with his daughter, the principal's daughter, and then, you know, that's like the one episode where at the end the principal wanted Onizuka to stay at the school. He found a, you know, he saw like a new light to Onizuka. But then afterwards, you know, he just went back to his old self. Hates guy.
Yeah, I hate it when shows do that. They reset everything.
Oh yeah, it wasn't, I don't know, total reset, but he showed, you know, his heart, some heart towards Onizuka.
Yeah, I guess, but like, only if it builds up. If it's built up, it's good, but then that, since that's only like one episode and yeah, and you never see him again until maybe the last episode.
Well, I don't know. I don't think the principal hates Onizuka that much. You know, it's just the character. I mean, I just, you know, how he is. The kind of person the principal is, you know, all strict.
He is an offensive principal.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. What else?
Well, along the lines of what we were talking about, the characters in liking any better than Onizuka, I think the thing that makes him, at least solidifies him as the best character in the show to me, is that when I think about all the other characters I like,
yeah.
I like them, I think about all the best moments with them, and all of them are also along with Onizuka. Like, I think he makes every other character have their most interesting moments. Like, I love the like, Onizuka and Kunio's, he's like the bully at first, like one of the bullies. Like, I love their like hatred for each other, like them trying to outdo each other. I think a lot of comments on that. And just whenever I think about any character, I think they go best. Onizuka, it's almost like, it's probably that's how what is the show is, but it's like Onizuka. Is all the characters are made to go with Onizuka and have a really good chemistry and dynamic with him, and make, like, Onizuka's character complements every other character greatly and gives the other character, makes the other characters more interesting. So I think that's what cements him as the best character to me.
Yeah.
Is that he makes all the other characters stronger.
Yeah, that's cool. Since, like, since the story.
Yeah, it's not a story.
Yeah, everyone hates Onizuka, or the adults, and then. Until, you know, Onizuka changed them and showed them that how fun he is in adults, I guess. How trusting adults can be, and I guess you felt the same way. I guess. I don't know, I said it wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't listening.
Well, wait, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Along the line of Onizuka, it's not like he's a bad character, like, not anywhere near that, but like, but like, for saying characters like I like and stuff, like, not exactly related to, but like, interesting characters. I think that guy, that smart guy, because it's just, like, he has the most, he's like, he's very useful character within the story or the show itself, because he's not like some kind of side character that gets help by Onizuka all the time. Like, you know, he's got his episode and stuff with his interaction with Onizuka, but all the other time he's either helping other people or as a part of Onizuka's scheme or something that he does by himself. And that's just why he's a good character.
Because
I was going to say, yeah, but I think that's almost like how all the characters are, really, is the throughout the whole format of the show is it starts with Onizuka, and then he helps a person, and that person becomes a part of his group, and then they go along and they help another person, and then that person gets in the group, and then the whole group kind of has roles in helping. Like, it's not just
no, but it's mostly the people who actually like do stuff are like Kanzaki and that the smart guy Yoshito and the three guys that the three kind of gang members, they're kind of like the muscles, or like they do. the stuff that the other guys wouldn't. Like the other guys are the brains, and those three guys are like the guys who handle the stuff.
But then even Kenzaki helps.
Yeah,
chick with the huge boobs later too, and I pretty much every character goes on to help other characters once they get in Onizuka's group. They all go on and help.
Yeah, but they're like most of them are like kind of useless and don't really do stuff. Like they're part of the plan, sure. Like, but they're like the side characters that gets told what to do.
What like I'd say. I wouldn't say Kikuchi is more important than... I'd say he's the same amount of importance as Yoshikawa, Kunio, and Kanzaki in terms of helping.
I agree with that.
And then probably the other two friends of Kunio. And then, I don't know, maybe Tomoko. I don't remember much about her helping. She's usually getting in the way of stuff. But I don't know. I think you're attributing a little bit too much importance to Kikuchi.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Those side characters that you said. I don't know what you mean by side characters. But I mean the way you said it just seemed so unimportant. I just felt like all the games besides Sans, Onizuka, they were all really supporting characters. I don't know. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I'll get back to the side characters. But like, that's why I'm talking about that the smart guy because I like him better than to back up why I said I like him better than Onizuka. But it's nothing to the other characters. Like they're fine characters, but like as for the side characters, like not everyone is like very important side characters. Like those people that you mentioned, anyways. So like even though they support other people or stuff, they're not really as important as the major side characters, if you want to call them that, or the supporting cast.
Wait, so are you saying Kikuchi is more of an important side character?
To other side characters, yes.
I'd say he's of equal importance.
To who?
Of everyone, like Kanzaki and Kunio.
Everyone in the whole classroom?
Yeah.
No, just...
His group.
The Onizuka group.
Yeah.
I don't remember who's in the Onizuka group.
Like Kunio, Kanzaki, and Yoshikawa.
Yeah, sure, because they're the people who got their own arcs and stuff, or like episodes.
Then who are you saying Kikuchi is more important than?
Like those, let's see, I gotta remember.
Random classroom member one?
The other classroom members?
The other guys that.
Udio Yoshi?
I don't know.
the Miyabi's group?
Miyabi's group. Aizawa's group?
Yeah. What? Who? Well, I don't know. You. You're the one who's...
That's what I'm trying to look for.
Miyabi?
Miyabi. Didn't she have her own... Or I got some stuff to say about Miyabi in a bit, but...
What a bitch. Well... Are you looking?
I'm looking. They don't give pictures. Stop it.
Do you have an idea of what the character did in the show? What?
They were just there for, like they were part of the supporting cast or whatever, but then they really didn't do that much.
Well, you have anything else, Quentin?
Based off what David was talking about?
Yeah, or anything.
I mean, Neo Freedom?
Or anything.
Well, he said he had something... what was the other thing you mentioned? The... Side characters?
Supporting characters?
I thought we were going to touch on something else after that. I can't remember the side characters.
Something about Onizuka playing a role in their lives.
Nah, I got nothing.
Didn't this one part annoy you guys? At the beginning, how everyone in the classroom kept saying, I hate adults, I can't trust adults. The whole class 4, 3, 4, whatever that classroom is.
Didn't really annoy me.
I mean, just to, distrust adults in general. I mean, sure, they were betrayed by their previous teacher. But, I mean, just to, hate adults at the level that they showed. I mean, yeah, they're kids, too, but still. I don't know.
This thing is not helping. It's in the manga form, and it's not in the anime form, so I don't recognize these characters.
Of course, it's unreal, their hatred, but I give every TV show a certain level of unrealness to have, I think the unrealness of how much they hated adults in general helped the show to make it more meaningful of what Onizuka is doing to them, and also the whole overarching idea is that at first they're all this tight-knit group of students who hate adults, and then slowly Onizuka pulls them apart and kind of gets them on his side. And of course it would have been better if they could find a way to do that without having having each student hate adults so much, but it didn't make me hate the show anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't that far-fetched, but it just infuriated me.
To be honest, I didn't really, I don't really remember that much, though.
Oh.
So I guess it just didn't hold too much of, effect with me.
All right. On to the next topic. Go ahead, David.
Neo Freedom. Thank you, good girl. Yeah. I want to get back to the characters for a minute.
Go ahead.
I also liked the Aizawa's character for a little bit, but then only because it was setting up a strong plot storyline kind of things for her character, because throughout the whole show she was kind of the one that hates him the most, and she was trying to prove a point that adults they can't trust adults, because she was part of her best friend stuff, that problem. But then
what's the whole origin of their hate again? I forgot.
that her original teacher, or yeah, her previous teacher, got her best friend pregnant, a legal thing happened where they said that the teacher had to say that he didn't get her pregnant and then leave school or something, or something along those lines.
Well, admission of his crime.
I don't think he admitted to it.
He supposedly was going to, but then he ditched them.
But only because the school board said so.
Yeah, and then Miyabi's best friend, the girl who was involved, killed herself. So that's why they hate him. Adults.
Did she kill herself?
Yeah.
Okay then. That makes it worse.
Does that have an impact on your views on Miyabi? You were saying.
No, that's fine. No,
Go ahead.
Only because I felt her plot, the climax of her plot was like rushed. It was really rushed. It was toward the end, right? The climax of her.
I think it was only two episodes.
Yeah, but like, I remember it was toward the end, and
it was the last two episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Then like, yeah, like, and the whole show was kind of building up for that, because it was sort of the biggest thing that could have happened, the biggest problem that Onizuka could have solved, but then it rushed to it so fast, and then she at the end she finally got into the group, or she like trusted him or whatever, and it didn't seem that. And I don't want to say believable, but like the impact wasn't that great as setting up should have made after me.
Yeah, did they address that right when they came back from the Okinawa trip?
Yeah.
I think it was because, well, in defense of the show, I think it was because the manga wasn't finished or even like that far along, and until they got the ending and it made up the ending. But yeah, I mean, I think it was still decent though, but you know, it could have been better. Yeah.
That's a, like, Neo Freedom was talking about how he didn't think he didn't like the nerd and the girl who was picking on him getting together, because it wasn't enough of a build up.
Yeah.
And I felt that about this storyline, because I don't think you saw Aizawa, however, Miyabi, enough throughout the series to make the last two episodes big as it should have been. Like, she goes like long episodes without being seen. Mm-hmm. And so I think she could have been more prominent in the whole story and been more just small parts throughout the other characters' arcs. And I think it would have been more impactful.
No, but she was in like a lot of little arcs in the other people's arc. Yeah, she was part of the Kanzaki's arc, and she was part of
Tomoko's.
Yeah, she was in a lot of arcs. Yeah. Because and that made the build up really really good.
Yeah, I also felt she was in quite a lot of the show.
No, I don't think she was. Especially for the whole ending being about her. Like, well, go back and watch the show, and I don't think she's in it as much as you probably are thinking she is. Well, or maybe my definition of as much as I wanted her to be in it isn't as high as yours.
Yeah, and another thing though, because her hate for Onizuka is really the only unwavering one until the end. Everyone kind of, you know, changed sides, but then she's really the one who would really hate him the whole time.
Because she has the biggest problem, or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, in other people's arc, it doesn't necessarily mean like she has a big role in it. But
no, I don't even mean that either. I just mean I'd be hard pressed to believe that she was in more than, she had a speaking role in more than one third of the episodes.
The total show?
Of the total show. If she was in, I don't know if she was in more than 14 episodes, I would say.
Like a speaking role, or?
Yeah, like a speaking role.
I'd say way more, yeah. Only if this had IMDb style, which listed characters in that they appeared.
There is, but then this one doesn't say what episode she's in.
They don't do that for anime.
Yeah, they do, but this show is too old, I think. Not here. Wait, maybe I can.
There's.
Yeah, it says right here. What's your name?
Miyabi.
Aizawa.
Oh, maybe no, it doesn't. This is for something else.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on. We can't have dead air.
Oh, okay. Then go ahead and keep talking.
Yeah, Miyabi is such a bitch.
She has all the reason to be, no.
Well, alright, then we got all through the stuff that we liked. What didn't you guys like about the show?
I guess it could have been maybe a little slightly less wacky, just barely. Like, none less wacky. I retract my taking back of wanting to be wacky. I'm annoyed that a lot of the characters would be away for a while.
Yeah.
And not really, and have, like, there's go episodes when, you know, it's focusing on a new character, and then you wouldn't really see another character. He'd maybe say, like, two or three lines in a, you know, like, in four episodes, and sometimes that annoyed me.
Yeah, but then that's, like, also a testament to the show, you know, for them to have characters that you like so much that you don't want them to be gone. But yeah, I really wanted to see more of some.
I felt the arcs would done all right.
Good enough. You don't need more.
See, even that, so even like when they move to different arcs, all the characters that people want to see like stayed. Like Kanzaki, the guy, then Murai.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were always there.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did you want to see? Like, I'm not sure. Tomoko?
Yes, more Tomoko. Well, I was also annoyed that it took so long to get to, like, some characters, like, Kenzaki doesn't get introduced until, like, what, it's gotta be, like, 15 or 20 episodes into the series. So, I don't know, it feels like I just didn't have enough time with her, I felt. It was really disappointing.
But she was, like, in every episode afterwards, though.
For the most part. I felt the whole show should have been surrounding her character.
I see.
Yes.
And yeah, that show's filled with so many memorable characters. Well, not, I guess, that memorable, but like some that stand out of my mind. Like that really weird girl kept like making people lick her feet.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah, I know.
And then, I didn't like that storyline.
But then, like, you know, Onizuka showed her. That's the episode where he got shot, yeah, after
that. Yeah, that was the test episode. Or arc or whatever.
Or, like, the guy who was really obsessed with Fuyusuki. When, like, he invited her apartment and Onizuka showed up. Had his whole plan in his room where he would pull that string and a bunch of stuff would fall down. Like balloons and confetti.
It was more comical than anything. But
yeah, he went insane, yeah. Yeah.
But not him specifically, just that notion, that idea.
Huh?
I didn't like him.
That's yeah, all. Yeah.
Yes.
You found whatever you guys were looking for?
No. What am I looking for?
How many episodes?
Oh,
Miyabi was in?
Yeah, it didn't say. There was a whole description about it, but didn't say what.
All right. I think it's about time to wrap up, unless you guys have something to say.
Is that what wrapping up is?
I mean, like
saying our final thoughts.
Yes. So, what's your rating on the show.
A rating? Whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't what I got in, like, agreed to do this for. Like, I thought there was going to be a rating I had to do.
What's your recommendation level?
Oh, okay, that's fine. this is a good anime. I of course, haven't seen all animes.
Oh. And, I'm disappointed you haven't.
But of the ones I've seen, this is a nice, just like a, almost like a guilty pleasure type thing. Just watch it and have a couple laughs. Like, we didn't even really touch on the wackiness. It was a part of, like, which made the good show kind of great. It's like the, almost like the opposite of Cowboy Bebop, of where, like, that show's very, like, I don't, kind of like stoic and scene oriented, and it's kind of like slow paced and almost like a movie. And this is more like, it's like almost like a cartoon, like a Warner Brothers type cartoon, where it's just like a lot of action, a lot of wacky, you know, visualizations that you wouldn't see in real life. And I thought that was enjoyable for the show. It's not one of those shows you would say, you know, watch this show, it's will change your mindset on a lot of things. It's just a nice, pleasant show to, you know, watch if you have free time.
I see where you're going. Neo?
Not a very deep show for what it is. It's a fun show for its kind of genre that it's going for. So it's not a bad show for its genre. It doesn't try to be anything more deep, which is probably a good thing. But it plays with your emotions, which is also good.
Yeah, I have to say that. But no, I agree more with Quentin, of course, than you. it's lighthearted. It's fun, wacky, and more than on just occasions, they reward you with some sort of sentimental story. And
yeah, I would say, yeah, that's the thing that's good about it. It's that it does have sentimentality to it, and that it's not just a wacky show, but there are pretty much every episode has a cliffhanger type, what's going to happen next, that kind of draws you in emotionally to where you really genuinely care about what's going to happen to the character, or like an outcome that kind of like pulls at your heartstrings a little bit. It's nothing's going to, you know, make you cry pretty much, but for how wacky of a show it is, it still manages to do a good job at being emotional.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm going out of line to say this. Yeah, you probably want Onizuka as a teacher by the time you're done watching.
Nah, that's it. You're a girl.
He's too perverted? Yeah.
He's... yeah, still... he's a good guy generally, but the pervertedness stays there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we forgot to address that issue. Like, you know, one of our friends, he had an issue with the perversion who, you know, will remain nameless.
What?
You know, that guy that plays the guitar.
Who goes by the name Chris.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys have to say about that? Like, how perverted is it? Do you guys think it's that perverted?
That's why I don't like the first episode a lot. I think it gets in there too strongly, and with his pervert it jumps into a pervertedness, which is a main part of the story. But I think it did the friend whose name I mentioned already, but won't mention anymore. It scared him away of it a little bit too much, and I think it was too strong in the first level, in the first episode, in that it kind of. It scared you away from wanting to feel like emotions towards him or whatever, like care for him as a character. I think they could have toned it down a little bit in the first episode, even though by the end he kind of redeems himself, but still I think it was a little bit too strong in that first episode.
Well, that's to set up his character, that's who he is, and if you're not gonna enjoy that, his that's the way he is at the beginning, like you wouldn't enjoy him at the end, since
I've heard that, yeah, from a lot of people that they say like the first few episodes Onizuka comes out as a little too perverted, or even more perverted than his regular self there in the later show, and that they do that because of like eye candy to attract more viewers in the beginning, but yeah, I guess for me, I'm not even, it doesn't mean, you know, I think I'm desensitized to that. I watch too many anime, I guess. It doesn't even bother me.
It was also for comedy purposes that for the whole at his apartment thing, I didn't feel anything for that. I'm pretty sure he wasn't gonna, like, do her at that apartment.
It was all games for me.
Like, he was trying to pretty damn hard.
Yeah.
That's only because that's his kind of thing.
Well, it's there another, of course, a barrier between cultures with, I of course don't know the anime genre as well as you guys do, but maybe the perversion is a little bit more normal there than it is, and maybe it's more secretive here in the States than it is in Japan.
What are you talking about?
Every
OC type of show is like sex scene everywhere.
Oh, come on, this is like borderline pedophile.
He's dressing up in a wolf suit and like thinking, you know, making sexual remarks about, what was she, like 14 or something?
Comments, like nothing ever happens. Like, if we thought, like, if it's like really serious, if he really thought it was serious, like, he can probably do her, right? Like, it's like, he was never like that serious into it.
Well, if this was like real life, he would have been arrested for sexual harassment many times. Let's just say that.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, but since it's an anime, they make fun of that kind of humor.
I don't know. You mean they were like a parody? You mean making fun of that?
Or they can use that sort of humor because it's an anime.
But doesn't it make the character less likable?
No, it's just to set up that kind of humor.
You mean set up that kind of humor? I mean that's just the humor that it is, the perverted kind of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that humor can still be there without the 14-year-old girl.
I don't see it happening. My mind does not follow.
Yeah.
It has to be perverted. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, it's not classy, but
this is pedophilia perversion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like incestual, that kind of humor with Adam Carolla. That's not
a adult radio show. What do you mean? So what?
What?
Well, yeah, that's not a TV show. That's that's a person making jokes. Whereas this is a TV show that
is
designed to get viewers to watch, and a general way of it's a show that tries to be sentimental too, as you can tell by the ending of the first episode, and by making the character have pedophilia characteristics, although you're gaining a comedy level, you're losing sentimentality.
Yeah, it's just a joke that's a pass-by joke.
It wasn't a pass-by joke, it was a five-minute scene.
For 5 minutes, yeah, but it's maybe implied something, but like he would never do it. That's his character.
Wait,
that's
you guys are arguing for that specific scene? That has more... The scene has more merit than any of the other stuff he does. I mean, the thing... Well, she did that in the first place with, like, to trick him. I mean, that... I don't, it really was for the story.
No, I'm not arguing her.
Yeah, yeah, okay, David was.
Her siding, though, but the fact that he was so willing to almost do it, it takes away...
On a comedy level, like, on if it's, like, really a sentimental level, then he would never do it.
Well, the only reason I was okay with it was because he is new to this thing. He was, you know, young and horny, and he didn't... Well, he's just starting out, you know, you gotta leave some room for the development.
Well, he's 22, but...
Yeah, I never had a girlfriend.
But it obviously scared our friend away, and I think it would scare a lot of viewers away to be that to have him be that perverted that early.
Oh, well, I don't know. Like, what does our friend think is secret? Like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, for the Japanese, it's a draw in for them. Yeah.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's fine, but I didn't enjoy it. After the first episode, I wasn't looking forward to watching more. I don't even remember why I did. I guess out of boredom.
Yeah, you watched the first episode at my house, and then you brought that thing home.
Yeah, you, like, forced me to take it home and watch it.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Well, I didn't like the first episode at all, pretty much. I didn't find it that funny either. I found it weird and, I don't know,
kind of disturbed. You were on the other computer doing something, and then, so then David and I watched it, and then you gradually came over and then started watching with us. And then, you know, it shocked you because you were, like, used to, like, DBZ anime style, you know, something cartoony, and then I said, like, you know, anime's just not for kids, and then I thought you were drawn to it.
No.
No, but I don't know if he was or he wasn't, but you did force it on him.
Oh, no, I didn't. I forced him.
Well, you didn't force it on me, but you
a hard push.
And I think part of the reason I accepted to do it was because, that was probably the first anime I'd ever watched, like really watched. And so I think I was more open to actually watching something so we could discuss it, I guess. But either way, I watched it and I liked the other episodes more than that one. But it's, you get used to its perversion after time, but I think it's, like, again, I don't know the anime genre or the Japanese, but I think in a more traditional TV show, it's easier, I would equate it to a relationship where you ease and you hide your lesser qualities and tone them down, like your perversion. And then you let the people get used to you and like you, and then you can let your true personality show. And because the person already likes you, then they kind of, they don't mind it as much. So I think it would have been easier for some people, like the person we spoke of who didn't like the first episode and thought that the Onizuka was too perverted, if he'd started out less perverted, and then it lets you see his other better qualities first. And kind of you can put up with them, and then you'll be less likely to not want to watch the show because you think, oh, this is just going to be a show about this 22-year-old, you know, being sexually attracted to these 14-year-old girls, which doesn't seem too appealing to apparently anybody other than the Japanese.
Yeah.
That was my final thought.
That was a long final thought.
All right. You guys have anything else?
I think that's it.
I just want to say that it would have been nice for some kind of overall storyline. Would have been nice.
What?
Him teaching and becoming the greatest teacher is the overall storyline. What?
Yes.
Okay, is that not good enough?
No, not really.
Okay. Well,
I thought it was the overall storyline was borderline great.
What was it?
The first of all, the whole the students not liking adults and teachers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then you have Aizawa, that whole thing, and you have the whole show is him constantly winning these students over, And then also you have the whole love relationship thing going on between him, Onizuka, and the teacher. I can't remember her name. And that thing. So you have that going, and then you have a couple little storylines between the students. And I thought it was, for example, a lot more consistent in keeping a story flowing than, for example, Cowboy Bebop was.
Agreed. No.
there's a more coherent story going on in GTO.
I mean, I thought there's not very many episodes where you can watch it and say that episode didn't push you forward into the final ending of the episode, getting to the end of the episode. And I thought that was good, as opposed to other shows where you can watch an episode, pretty much one episode, and then had that be taken out of the show, it wouldn't change the show's ending at all. It wouldn't make you look any differently on the show.
Well, go ahead, finish.
Oh no, I was finished.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say, like, well, for me, the show is a slice of life. So, not the episodes. They don't necessarily have to contribute to an overall story, and to me, they didn't really. Not a lot of them, since it's really a slice of life. Every day.
I disagree with that because, and not that every episode contributed to the overall story arc. Well, especially the Aizawa thing, but there's very few episodes that are condensed within themselves. It's more of there's like three or four episodes that are condensed, but I don't think you can't watch one episode. Well, it's hard to watch one episode and then be, and just watch it and be like, oh, that was a good episode, and if I don't see another episode, that's fine or whatever. What I mean is, every episode either ends with a cliffhanger, where you need to see the next episode to finish up the story arc, or it starts with it's coming back from a cliffhanger. So I don't think each episode can be watched in and of itself. Well, like, I think you can enjoy the episode, but it's part of a story arc. So I think you need the other episodes to get the full effect.
Yeah, it's because it's made up of little tiny story arcs. I'm just saying, I wish there was a bigger story arc that they could go from, and that would be the overall thing that binds the stories together. Like, not saying like the other little story arcs aren't good, or like they weren't ending, they weren't boring or anything, but like an overall arc would have been good. For example, the relationship between him and the other teacher, that could have been the big story arc.
Well, like I said, this big story is him, Onizuka, improving everyone, being the greatest teacher.
Interesting.
Yes.
If you want a date for a overall story.
Yes.
Okay, folks. Is that all?
I think that's all.
All right, you guys, drop us an answer for the contest if you know it. And see you guys.